The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Ruth Graham reveals how she learned to release the unforgiveness lurking in her heart.
When I needed him the most, he seemed to be the farthest away. And I grew up with a sense of abandonment. I did not want to believe that was true, but it was true. It's that piece of the puzzle fit. Now, I don't blame Daddy at all. These were my choices. But I had to face the fact. And like I said, the piece fit the puzzle. And I was able to then forgive myself.
It's an honor to come into your home or wherever you're watching. Doesn't matter. We're honored that you would give us a moment. I'm James Robinson. My wife, Betty, and I welcome you to life today. One of our best friends, and as far as we're concerned, family forever, is Billy Graham's daughter and Ruth Graham's daughter, Ruth, which would be quite a tribute that she got Mom's name. Because, boy, Dad sure thought a lot about Mom, Ruth. Precious moments of just... how much Billy loved and respected Ruth, missionary family. Well, Ruth Graham has been close to us a long time. Would you welcome Ruth Graham?
Thank you.
I do feel like, I feel like a family.
You're the big brother I never had, yes.
Well, and I tell you what, I didn't have a sister. I was an only child, you know, and gosh, you are... You're our sister, and your daddy sent you down here when you were quite young to help me when I was quite young. And your dad really loved our ministry,
and he did.
We really loved him.
And he loved you.
I know that he did. Now, this is really something. I think this could be one of the most important books that anybody's written, not just because you're a Graham, but look what it says. It's on forgiveness, and the title, Forgiving My Father. Forgiving myself. Two biggest challenges?
Absolutely.
So people would say, what in the world are you forgiving Billy Graham for, please? Well, what were you forgiving Daddy for?
Well, James, I grew up as a little girl with a daddy that was far away. I wanted him to tuck me in bed, but he wasn't there. I wanted him to teach me to ride the bicycle, but he wasn't there. When I needed him the most, he seemed to be the farthest away. And I grew up with a sense of abandonment. I did not want to believe that was true. But someone confronted me some years ago, before my father died, but after he was conversant, so I couldn't have that conversation with him. But they told me, Ruth, you grew up with a sense of abandonment. I did not want that to be true, but it was true. That piece of the puzzle fit. Because you see, James, as you know, I've been married and divorced four times. And I thought that I might not even be saved. I mean, how could I possibly keep going through this thing? You know, it's the definition of insanity is doing the same thing, thinking you'll get a different result. But I grew up with wanting security that my father couldn't give me. And so I kept looking for security. And I married Ted at 18. We were married for 21 years. But then that ended in divorce, and I quickly had a rebound marriage and had to flee him, actually. I was afraid of him. Then married a man I was loved very much. We were married for 10 years when he decided to leave. And then married another man. And
you were looking for something
I
that
was
had
looking
never,
for something.
You felt was never there.
That's right. Now, I don't blame Daddy at all.
I understand
These were
that.
My choices. Yeah. But I had to face the fact. And like I said, the peace... fit the puzzle. And I was able to then forgive myself because I realized there was a reason. Sometimes there are no excuses, but there are reasons. And it was Vance Havner who used to say, an excuse is a skin of a reason stuffed with a lie.
Wow. Wow. Bob Vance was a, boy, he was a precious friend, and he was a great encourager to me, a great writer, but he's like your dad. He encouraged him as a young preacher, you know. You, You see, I know your dad felt that because when I look back on, I actually traveled more than your dad because he would do a number of crusades a year, and I would do 30 to 40 crusades a year, and they were all eight-day crusades. Mm-hmm. They weren't five-day. They weren't part of the week. It was insanity. I'll be honest with you. It was insanity. See, if you have a gift and it's effective, well, the world and the spirit of the world will program you, but the spirit of religion, the spirit of the church will too. Because they see that gift and it helps them grow and people get saved. But they don't realize that you need a family too. Robert Morris is going to be with us, I think probably in about a week. He's written a book, Take a Break, and it's on the Sabbath rest. Mm-hmm. My failure to rest nearly led to my destruction. But I also knew that I had failed our children because I was missing. And I really tried hard to get back to do things, and you were awesome. And I've said to you many times, I repeat it, your prayers for our family, they were so focused because we're sitting here talking to you, and you really did pray, and boy, our kids are a miracle. The kids there, you know, Franklin sure was a rebel, you know, with a cause, he said. But the point is that he, you had plenty of tension in the family. There was plenty of things going on there.
We're a dysfunctional family, like every family.
And that's exactly the word, and I think I know it about as well as anybody because I love the whole family. And they know that. You all know that, right? I mean, there's no question about it.
Absolutely.
But the deal is that it did hurt. And Daddy knew it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we both realized we missed it. Billy, I love you so much. Mm-hmm. And I really do believe you're with the cloud of witnesses glimpsing down right now, just like you watched Ann a couple of weeks ago when she was here and she was just glowing. You are too. Ruth, you really do have just a beautiful radiance.
Thank you.
And that is the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of God. So, Billy, these girls, all the kids, even grandkids, coming on strong. Okay, you really have forgiven. How did that forgiveness play out? It showed you the adverse effect that the lack of forgiveness had. What happened when you realized this is what was going on and you forgave Daddy? What happened inside?
Well, I came to understand forgiveness is not a letting go. It's not a way to get healthy emotionally. It's not a gift I give myself. James, it is so much more than that. It is sacred. It is a sacrament. When Jesus was being nailed to the cross is when he said, Father, forgive them. He was dying for us. That is a sacrament. And we can enter into the very nature and character of God when we forgive. That is what he's all about. His heart is all about forgiveness.
You know, one of the miracles in my life is, and I know you want to jump in here. One of the miracles in my life is I never knew my father. He was, you know, he's a drunk. He, you know, raped my mother, and then he came back and tried to kill her, and I nearly killed him in self-defense. And yet I held him in my arms and told him, I don't know you, but I love you. And this is something I've said, and it's a miracle, and I know now that's where you are at this moment and where you come. I cannot not forgive. The forgiver lives so fully in me, and I mean this. I mean, I've had people do everything that could hurt me. Sure, things hurt, but I forgive. I can't not. There's a forgiver in me. Mm-hmm. All the people that look like they're just off the charts wacky and they're just grabbing about everything, I'm just saying, God, they don't know it. They're hurting themselves, mm-hmm. and I'm hurting for you. Mm-hmm. If we go the direction some of you want us to go, we're all in trouble. You're digging your own pit. You're digging your own ditch. You're digging your own grave, and it's breaking my heart. I just wish I could sit down and talk to you. Because even though I'm convinced it's wrong, it's hurt, there's a forgiveness. Okay. So as you forgave, did you sense something release inside?
James, it doesn't happen all at once. It's a lifetime process. And it took a while for it to play itself out. And I can't tell you how it happened or when it happened, but I can tell you that it did happen. And I know for myself, not too long ago, I was in Sunday school class, and we were studying 1 Corinthians, and we were comparing the Corinthian culture with our culture. And the Sunday school teacher asked, when did we begin this downward slide in America? And somebody in the back said, well, when we started accepting divorce. Well, that went in one ear and out the other. Normally, that I would have, you know. But it didn't faze me. And after Sunday school class was over, this man called me aside and he said, oh, Ruth, I'm so sorry. I meant to say easy divorce. And I realized at that moment, James, I was living in Romans 8:1. There is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Normally, I would have condemned myself around the block and back again. But no longer. I live in the freedom of forgiveness.
Yeah. Don't you think forgiveness is something that we have to walk in every day?
Absolutely.
Because I look at it and I think, how can we not forgive mm-hmm. someone or something that's happened, something maybe we were wronged or something like that? And I have to just look back to that time when I accepted Jesus. He forgave everything about me. And he said, be mine forever, mm-hmm. you know. So how can I, when we've got a God that forgives like that, how can we not have a forgiving
heart? He died for us while we were yet sinners, you know, mm-hmm. in our mess. That's when he died for us.
Yeah.
Does it mean if you forgive that you forget?
No. Only God chooses to forget. I think that because we haven't forgotten, we need to forgive.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's good.
And he does take it away as far as the east is from the west.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No question, he covers it. And, you know, somebody said, is there anything God can't do? And someone said, I think that he can't see what he covered,
mm-hmm.
what he forgave. Mm-hmm. And that really doesn't seem unscriptural, unbiblical, or even unsupernatural. It just seems like the way God would be. If you would say something to the average person, but maybe they didn't have a divorce, you know, where do you see people getting stuck in the area of being unable to forgive? What do you think are some of those sticking points that keep them back? You've talked about your own situation. You've talked about your dad. But what do you see holding people back?
Well, I think we don't forgive ourselves, and we get stuck there. And we think that God's mad at us, mm-hmm. you know, and we don't see the loving nature of God.
Mm.
Joyce Meyer had that book, God's Not Mad at You. And I thought that was a great title because I think a lot of people, especially evangelicals, tend to think that God's mad at us and he's just waiting for us to do something wrong so he can whack us. That's not at all the case. He hurts with us. When we suffer the consequences of our sin, it's not a punishment for us. He is hurting with us and he wants to come alongside of us and love us. I don't think we realize how much he loves us. I don't think there's any way for us to know how much he loves us.
How much he's focused on us.
How do we forgive ourselves? How would you say that?
Well, I think you make the choice to forgive yourself like you would somebody else, mm-hmm. and then renew your mind with the scriptures, mm-hmm. because that's the only truth we have.
Yeah, and I really do believe there's healing in doing that, mm-hmm. going through it. As you wrote the book, and you were just going through the scriptures, and you had to be, you know, having a hope that God would do something special with the book. So as the book goes out, do you think it's going to lead a lot of people who would think, you know, you wouldn't have needed to forgive this great preacher, mm-hmm. to stop and look if they hold resentment in their family or in some place that's pretty hidden and they didn't even realize it was there? Or that in itself, the very thought that it might be there would make them even condemn themselves even worse? I mean, how do you feel like the book's going to come down in the average hands? What are you praying for?
I hope that people will pick it up and wonder. They might be curiosity. And this is not mm-hmm. a tell-all book by any stretch of the imagination,
right. Because
I adored my father. But I hope they'll pick it up out of curiosity, and then God will have something there for them, that he will meet them in the pages of that book. There's some need in everybody's life. We all have areas of that we need forgiving or asking for forgiveness. Just the simple fact of asking forgiveness can be so difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've had to do that over and over again myself. And I had to ask my children's forgiveness.
Right.
And I can remember one Easter afternoon, we all gathered in the backyard overlooking the Blue Ridge Mountains. And I told them, I said, kids, I need to speak to you all. And I said, I've got something important. I said, the kids can go play in the backyard. And they blanched. They thought, oh, Mom's sick or something terrible's happened. and I said, no, I need to ask your forgiveness. Oh, Mom, you don't need to ask our forgiveness. And I said, no. I looked each one of them in the eye, and I said, I want you to forgive me. Each one said, I forgive you. Wow. You know how freeing that is?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you knew in your heart they thought you had failed in some ways that troubled them.
I had.
Yeah, wasn't any question about it. I mean, you were put right up front. Most people don't even know you went through those deals, and I watched you. I mean, it was like somebody bouncing off a wall into a truck. It wasn't good. And you know what?
It
didn't matter how much love we poured out you in those moments, and you didn't need my finger in your face. You needed us praying for you and loving you. And we watch the journey, and we marvel at it, Ruth. You are, I'm telling you, you're a gift from God today.
Thank you.
I want all of you to join us in praying for Ruth. She's had some very serious back problems, and she's had surgery that in many ways looked like it complicated it. And she's just not ready for that again, and she really needs a touch of God. I want you to join Betty and me right now, and then I want you to just keep praying for her. God, would you just reach down and touch those joints that you made and supernaturally correct and heal? I mean, totally. In Jesus' name. Now look at me right here a minute, all of you at home. I just happened to turn on Believer's Voice of Victory. Ken, listen to me. I listened to a woman in far worse shape than Ruth. I mean, indescribable. And I saw the x-rays. And I saw the hopelessness. And somehow you spoke to her, and she heard God, and she prayed for healing, that you said God heals miraculously. And I watched and saw a woman totally changed, and I saw where God put in her back a rebuilt perfect joint where there wasn't one.
Wow.
And I saw it on the x-rays, and I saw the amazement of the doctors. You say, why do you tell that? Because I wish we would quit trying to find fault with one another and love one another. Ken, thank you for that. And I tell that because I want that for Ruth. I want Ruth to experience such a healing that the doctors are amazed. Listen, our God does still heal. And let me tell you this. We lost a daughter to cancer that believed in healing more than any healing preacher or person you've ever met. And I saw the dismay when she knew I'm leaving Dad. I didn't think it'd be this way. But God didn't fail. Her faith didn't fail. And the God that doesn't always heal what we ask heals the broken heart. This precious sister of ours, family, is trying to heal damaged hearts. And I don't know, Ruth, anybody being any more honest in trying to get people to find this forgiveness and healing that you're offering. And we're really going to be praying for your health.
Thank you. But James, even if he doesn't heal me, I want to do what he has for me to do, even with this. I want to worship him, even with the pain.
I know you do. Don't you appreciate Ruth Graham? Don't you just thank God for the whole Graham family, all of you. Thank you and love you. Samaritan's Purse, buddy, I love you. I'm glad I got to be your partner and go around the world with you. We got to touch the little ones together, and we'll keep doing it as long as we're breathing. Get the book. It's in the bookstores. Ruth, you've been to the mission field with us.
Yes, I have.
Do our mission outreaches work?
Oh, my, yes. It's amazing to see. I just loved my experience in Angola. I really did.
The love of God poured through those missionaries, but it could only be weeping with no ability to meet a need, but our viewers make it possible to be a miracle.
And it makes such a difference, such an enormous difference in the lives of those little, I can see those little kids coming from afar with their little red bowls, you know, and with their spoons ready. Yeah. And to just really just accept a bowl full of gruel.
Well, you know what it is here. I'm going to pick up one of them. They used to just come with cans, and we never did see cans this clean. They were the nastiest old cans, and you watched them, and you said, why don't y'all give them heat-resistant bowls? That hot soup is burning their little hands. And you did this. You did. And it's life in every bowl.
Oh.
And it has lines to proportion for the nourishment needs in areas so we don't run out of soup. And you did that. So you know exactly. By the way, that's what love does. Love did it.
That's right.
And I want you to be a miracle right now. Mm-hmm. What you're going to see, you're going to say, you know what, Ruth? We're going to be the answer to a mother's prayer.
That's right.
We're going to be the miracle those missionaries trust for. Mm-hmm. Watch closely, because you're going to get excited.
Like so many of us, Felicia prays earnestly over her home and her children. But in her world, life and death are at stake every day. The circumstances faced by the families in her village are overwhelming, and they are forced to contend with a reality most of us can't imagine. Despite already losing one child to malnutrition, Felicia's faith remains strong. The danger is real, and she fears for the future of her children. But her hope is anchored in a daily act of surrendering her family to God. Like Felicia, so many families in this corner of the world feel the weight of malnutrition bearing down on them and threatening their survival. They can't collapse under the burden or give in to despair. They can only pray. And you could be the answer to those prayers.
Ooh, look at that precious mother praying with that little baby on her back. And said goodbye to one child. I want you to pray with a baby on your heart. But God, please, please, help all our viewers to say, I can save those children. I can help several of them. And they can, Lord. Give them an excitement and a joy about it, a commitment to it in Jesus' name. Think about this. You can feed 10 little children like that for the next several months for $100. You can feed 5 for 50 or 3 for 30. It's not total child care. It's emergency, nourishing, porridge-type soup mix that is especially designed for that area and the needs. It becomes a miracle farm. Changes everything. Thousands of them, hundreds of thousands right now waiting to see, would you help me? Would you help 3, 5, or 10? $1,000 will feed 100. There are some of you here watching right now who could give $1,000 and do it gladly. Some could give more. Thank God, Betty, for everything people do.
Absolutely.
I'm asking you right now to go and get your bank card and come back and go online. You see the online address or dial that number. It's always a prayer line if you need prayer, because we care. While people are calling to save lives and feed those precious children, there'll be 80% more calls saying, pray for me. I've got a need in my life. I need your prayers. Would you be one of those who calls to be a lifeline? Would you please? Get your bank card, use it like a check. Make the largest gift you can. Father, help every person who can to be moved by your Spirit to do it. In Jesus' name. We need a lot of help. I'm telling you. The missionaries have found the need. They're going to pour love out, but we're the ones that keep them from being empty-handed. You make it possible for them to save those lives. We're going to send you Anthony Evans' incredible, beautiful CD, Altered. It means more than just the altar. It means an altered life by the grace of God. Powerful. And the beautiful cups that you can fill, and they'll be filled with joy when you're sharing joy. So we always want to bless you. This is not something to get a gift. This is something to bless you. They become conversation pieces where you can tell a friend where you got them. You can enjoy Anthony's music right now. Make that call or go online. Make the gift God put in your heart. If you want to write a check, make it to Life. But call us and tell us what you're mailing. We need to know. We depend upon your support. Thank you.
Mission Feeding began with a promise to be there in times of crisis for thousands of hurting and hungry children in their time of need. Now more than ever, we need your help to save lives by feeding and caring for children across the continent of Africa. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish our supplies to reach the 400,000 children who are counting on us. Your gift of love can be the miracle answer to a desperate mother's prayer. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 that will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the Altered Worship CD by Anthony Evans. This powerful full-length album includes unique versions of some of today's most cherished worship songs that are sure to uplift and inspire you. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Filled with Faith and Joy travel mug set. These 12-ounce mugs are crafted with large handles, double-layered insulation, and vacuum-sealed lids to prevent spills. Each mug includes a message to remind you of God's blessings and faithfulness. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative bronze sculpture, Safe in the Shepherd's Arms. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I want to say, along with Betty and I know Ruth Graham, thank you for your help. I want to let you know this. You just help us feed some of those children. You say, would you send me that book Ruth wrote? Forgiving My Father, Forgiving Myself. I think this is a really, really important message. From a heart broken and a heart healed, mended, so she can mend other hearts. That's what God does. Would you join us in thanks to Ruth Graham for being a blessing? Thank you, Ruth.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you, Betty.
Thank all of you for watching Life today, but most of all, thanks for sharing Life today. Thank you.
You're already in a war. It's time to fight. So fight in the realm you don't see for freedom in the one you do. Mark and Grace Driscoll, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.